The following is an unrehearsed interview with Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley. Participating in today's public affairs program are Ed Funston of KILR in Estherville and Randy Cothran with the Spencer Daily Reporter. Ed, you can start us off with a question for Senator Grassley.
All right, Senator. The Des Moines Register released a poll over the weekend that said 64% of Iowans think it's time for you to retire. What's your reaction to that poll, and will it have any effect on your decision whether you seek another term?
Well, of course it won't have any effect. I've been saying since the first of the year that I'm going to make up my mind September, October, no later than really early November. 1 year is long enough to campaign. In the meantime, I've got my responsibilities to continue working hard for Iowans. I enjoy my work. This morning, I got to the office at 6 o'clock in the morning. I probably won't leave until 6:30 tonight. So I just continue to do my job. And I've got the best numbers of anyone in Iowa that's in political life, and nobody with these numbers has ever lost. Let me give you just one example. Way back the last time Governor Branstad ran for re-election, 55% of the people said he shouldn't run for election. He won by 22 points in a landslide victory that very year. So you got to take all these polls at this point with a grain of sand. I mean, kind of a grain of sand. Now let's go to Randy.
Thank you, Senator. Right now, a Senate bipartisan group is meeting, looking at a newly designed infrastructure program that they want to bring to the floor for discussion and debate. Have you heard anything about what they're looking to put in there? How is it going to differ from what President Biden suggested? And what do you think the chances of any headway there are?
Well, the only way it differs from what Biden wants to do in the purest form, he wants to do infrastructure like bridges, highways, locks and dams, airports, seaports, you know, broadband. We all agree on that. He's got a bunch of stuff in his bill that doesn't do infrastructure. It's more like, I'll just give you one example. Medicaid improvements for $400 billion. What's that got to do with locks and dams and infrastructure? Doesn't have anything to do with it. But he lumps it all together in the same bill. So we're kind of got this thing compromised down on the spending side to what is infrastructure. So the big issue is how to pay for it. Some people would like to get, let's say, with putting the indexing, I guess is the word I'm looking for, indexing the gasoline tax so it goes up with inflation. Repurposing money that's not spent from the COVID bills to use part of that. And maybe some sort of a tax because the electric vehicles don't pay a gas tax. So that's how to pay for it is what's really holding it up. And by the way, my staff is getting a briefing today on this issue because we haven't had any details of it other than just the word traditional infrastructure. And I look forward to hearing more details on the plan. Maybe next time I can answer your question a little more thoroughly. Ed?
Senator, you recently joined Senator Mike Lee in introducing the TEAM Act to reform the nation's antitrust laws. Can you explain why you feel that legislation is needed and what exactly would it do?
Yeah. Well, it isn't going to change the antitrust laws, but both the FTC and the Department of Justice has some jurisdiction over enforcing the antitrust laws. So you often read about discussions going on between Department of Justice and the FTC. Who's going to handle this antitrust case, and who's going to handle, and what should DOJ do if FTC is doing a different one? And it seems to me that we shouldn't have those sorts of disagreements or even discussions. So this puts all enforcement of the antitrust laws within the Department of Justice. It still leaves FTC to do everything else that they're supposed to be doing. And it's just kind of a good government approach to the legislation. Now, the legislation does do other things other than just that, but that's the main reason that I joined the effort. Randy.
The president made an appearance at the G7 summit as well as a meeting with Putin last week. How do you think America benefited from that trip overseas?
Well, only time's going to tell. And I don't know whether he took a tough enough position against Russia or not, and Putin or not, but it seems like in the area of cybersecurity, where the last two big attacks have happened from the criminal elements of Russia, he's made it very clear that the United States has our own cybersecurity attacking we can do, and we can attack right back. And if that threat, if he carries out that threat because he has drawn a red line in the sand, then, you know, then we'll know it's tough and that he made some progress. And if we don't have any more of the criminal elements in Russia hacking our system, then we'll know he's made some. But right now, we don't know for sure.
Senator, I guess your reaction to the Supreme Court ruling last week that dismissed the lawsuit filed by states on the Affordable Care Act?
I'm not surprised at it, and I'm thankful that it was by as wide of a margin as it was. You know, I don't like the Affordable Care Act, but it's been law for 10 years, and that doesn't mean that it's going to be totally accepted by everybody, but because there's always going to be some refinements of it. Trump made some refinements of it. Now, Biden has come back and changed it a little bit here and there, but Congress has acted in two or three areas already to change Obamacare. But one thing that's a little bit aside from your question about the Affordable Care Act, you may remember that when Barrett was put before the Senate Judiciary Committee, and you listened to the Democrats, they said, this is the end of Obamacare if she's on the Supreme Court, because she's going to make a margin difference to get rid of Obamacare. Well, she's one of those that voted to not go along with the case because of lack of standing by Texas and even the citizens that were part of the suit. So it just proves that the Democrats were using scare tactics to keep Barrett from being on the Supreme Court. They ought to be embarrassed about that, but I don't think they are. Randy?
So are there some common sense steps we can take to help deal with this situation down at the border right now? I mean, I know it's a very, very complicated issue, but are there certain things that can be done right now to try and curb this large number of folks that are trying to get into the country?
It's all the enforcement of our laws, so it's all up to the President of the United States. But I think he's more or less open border up to people, actually inviting people in. And enforcement is the only thing that can do much about it, except for the governor of Texas, who is over the weekend said he's going to spend $270 some million to put some fence up. I don't know how far $273 million go, but it could help in wherever it put up, it's going to help. But for the President of the United States, if you're asking us in Congress to do something about it, you know, we do oversight. We're asking Chairman Durbin to have a hearing on it. We've sent two letters. When I say we, Grassley and Cornyn sent two letters to Durbin. They don't want to have a hearing because it's such an embarrassing situation. Every day people are seeing on television people crossing the border, wading through the Rio Grande, getting into our country, deliberately breaking our laws. And those are the ones you see on television. You don't know how many come here that you don't ever see. And there's probably as many of those as you do see on television.
Senator, I was wondering if you had any reaction to the news that Rhode Island Senator Sheldon Whitehouse of Rhode Island, his family belongs to an all-white family beach club, and the hypocrisy of that considering he's been one of the main people speaking out about so-called systematic racism?
Well, I don't know much about it, but what I did hear about it, it seems to be inconsistent between, I don't know what he has said on the subject, but it seems consistent with the position that Democrats take on clubs like that. But I think that segregation is wrong.
Senator, there was a recent court ruling regarding the Catholic Church's right to refuse, or through the baptism, through the Catholic programs, to refuse that to same-sex couples. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, you're talking about the Supreme Court case.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, first of all, it deals with the freedom of religion and what the Catholic Church preaches. And the court agreed that Pennsylvania was wrong by denying them a contract with the city to handle foster cases and adoption cases. And I don't think it's going to be a real problem because they've never had to take that action. But if you go back 3 or 4 years when this case started in the lower courts, it started with a statement by a Catholic official saying it would be a violation of their religion to put a foster kid in the same-sex household. So they had never had a case like that. But somebody in Philadelphia government read it, and they said, we can't have a contract with this agency if that's what they're going to do. There's 20 other agencies within the city that will give same-sex households foster care or adoptions if they want them. So the people that are same-sex people in Philadelphia, that will be served if that's what they want to do. But when it comes to freedom of religion, our Constitution's pretty clear, and the courts did the right thing from my point of view. Okay?
Thank you.
Thank you all. Goodbye.
Thank you, Ed and Randy, for participating in today's Public Affairs program. This has been Senator Chuck Grassley reporting to the people of Iowa.